This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Thank you very much to our friends at Creation Wolf for powering the show. We have got an absolutely fantastic second half coming up for us. I've got the producer coming over to get me another cup of tea, which is very much welcome. And we have got a debutant tonight as well. We've got a debutant coming on. But we have Lucas, who's coming on first. Lucas, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Dave. You?
Loving the retro top you've got tonight on, mate.
Thank you. I got it for my birthday last week. So.
Fantastic. And as we started the second half of the show, this will go out as a second half of the podcast. I do want to say thank you to Creation Wolf. The link to them is in the description below. And, you know, Lucas, you're also a fan writer for alwayswolves.co.uk as well, aren't you? You've just recently come on board as part of the team. And if there's anyone out there that does want to write for the website as well, please get in touch with our socials. Lucas, how are you enjoying that so far?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I like putting my point of view across when I'm not on extra time. So I like to see what other people think about the game that don't do extra time as well.
Fantastic. We also have coming on tonight, who was fuming after the game, I can tell you. Charismatic Craig, how you doing, mate?
How are you, Dave? How you doing, mate? You okay?
Yes, I'm seeing you back in your mansion again tonight. You've been on the playing on the piano again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been lounging on that sofa watching the rest of the show.
Yeah, you got it sleeping, bud.
Now, we do have to say, obviously, that he has got the nickname Tuba Wolves. We do call him Charismatic Craig as well, but his screen name's Tuba Wolves because he can play a tuba. He's also the musical director of two brass bands. Had the chance to break bread with you before the game at the weekend, mate. And you'd had a fantastic performance from one of your bands.
Yeah, I was buzzing about. Really, really pleased that they were placed fifth in a mixed category competition at the Birmingham Conservatoire yesterday morning. Played the best that they've played for probably 9-10 years. So I was absolutely thrilled with them, Dave. They did everything and more, and really pushed the championship section bands there right to the limit. So yeah, I was over the moon. It was a bit rushed to get to the match, but enjoyed it,
which is great, man. I'm really pleased for you because I know how much time and effort you put into that. We have got Mr. Cheerful Chris coming on. Hello, mate. We call
all right,
him Chris because, Chris, can we turn that frown upside down?
Not a chance.
Not a chance after that crap yesterday. I'm hoping we're going to talk about the performance and what's going on with the team and
Absolutely,
not VAR and goals disallowed, because that's the most important thing, Dave.
Well, mate, it is important, but of course, VAR, the decision, did have a big impact on the game, and it was quite rightly that it's been a hot topic that we do debate and talk about that.
We can't just brush over a major incident like that, as much as you might not want to talk about it. George is going to be a debut, and he's coming on here to talk Wolves.
Hello, well. Hello, hello. How are we doing?
He's been wanting to come on and make a debut for a little while. We finally got him on. I forgot again, and he sent me the message. I went, oh, yeah, I need to send you the link. George, great to have you. Were you at the game yesterday?
Yeah, I was. Enjoyed the first half, and then enjoyed it 1-0 up. And then, obviously, you know, West Ham are a good side, aren't they? So it was one of those. But then at 2-2, we had the hope. But just, yeah. Well, we'll get onto that later, I guess, but...
We definitely will. I'm going to start with you, Craig, and then I'm going to go Lucas, Chris, and then George. Craig, you know, what points would you like to make? What's your you know, you've had a day to calm down. You were really ranting at the end of the game when we came out. You were not happy. What points would you like to make?
Yeah, well, Dave, in the first half, I thought we played some great stuff. Our movement was great. I went with Chris, and thanks for taking me again, Chris. Really appreciate it. We looked lively. I made this point when our back three or back five move the ball between each other at speed. We generally play with more pace. When they walk it between each other, we just play this awful, ponderous, slow stuff. So I said to Chris in the first 2 or 3 minutes, I'm really pleased that we were pinging the ball about, and that showed in the first half. I thought had we had a decent strike force, we could have been 2-3 up at half time. So the first half performance was really, really good, apart from the fact, I have to say, that Doc was making some magnificent runs.
Yeah, he played really well.
He was free so many times, and we never found him. We only found him on the odd occasion. And when we did find him, we caused the major, major problems down that left-hand side. So I thought that we underused Doc in the first half, but I thought Doc had a fantastic game. I said to Chris, I am so pleased that Antonio isn't playing in the first half, because every time
we always struggle against him, don't
well,
we?
Dave, he bullies us. That's why he bullies our two middle backs. And as soon as he came on yesterday, Moyes had clearly given them an absolute rocket. We weren't any slower than we were in the first half. West Ham were 2 yards quicker, and we did not adjust to that at all. They were more physical. They closed the space down. They didn't give us time to play the ball around, and so they made us look really poor. And we obliged. We were really poor in the second half. What annoys me is yet again we gave away a stupid goal by trying to play football in our own, you know, red area. I call where when you're under the cosh, you're not playing well. When the opposition are clearly on top of you, you start playing this tippy tappy between you, and we lost it, and the penalty arose from that. And we don't learn. We don't seem to have the intelligence or the propensity to put our foot through the ball, to just clear the lines for the moment, to reset, restructure. And the second half was really poor. What racks me off with VAR, and why I was fuming about it, is there's no consistency. So when the professionals in the game are saying they don't know what decisions the referees are going to make, and all the expert pundits that have played the game at the highest level don't know what the referee is going to decide because it's that inconsistent. And we saw that yesterday. That goalkeeper was getting nowhere near that. And Jack is absolutely right. I was going to bring it up, but he did it. The Man City goal, when Aki was standing on the goalkeeper, much, much worse than that yesterday. And that numpty that gave that goal yesterday, and he is a numpty, right? Absolute poor referee. The decisions, Dave, to just summarise, are so inconsistent, nobody knows where they are. And to shout out to Chris, in the first 30 seconds of the game yesterday, he said, by the way, Craigie, this ref's crap. He said, we are going to have a nightmare with this referee. We were the masters of our own downfall again yesterday. Gary can be as upset as he likes. I love the passion at the end. I just wish he'd have thumped him. I just wish Gary would have just thumped the ref. Because
that could make a TikTok on its own.
Ah, look. The stadium wanted it. I did. I wanted him to go and like, you know, knuckle him. But unfortunately, we're more, I suppose, reserved. But we
can't really condone that, really.
I don't care. You can. You can't. I can. Right, Dave. It's inconsistent, and that's the problem. Nobody knows where they stand with it anymore.
Well said.
That's my take.
Lucas, your thoughts coming back on that, and also contribute the points that you'd like to make. And guys, just to let you know. You can join in the conversation. All you need to do is subscribe to the channel for literally 1 second. Supports us, and you can also join in the conversation in the chat. We will put some of the comments. There's nearly 550 of you watching live. Any super chats will guarantee to be going on the screen as well. They obviously do support us as well. And if you see anyone with a little wolf, coloured wolf in the chat, they're members, which means they support the channel and are part of the Discord group as well. So, like, if you want to be a member, the link's to that as well. Lucas, I know you've been itching to have your say. Let it all out, mate. Let us feel what you want to say.
As I'm a ball boy, there's been a new rule put in place that ball boys cannot pick up the ball off the cone, and that's just due to the players. So I think yesterday the ball went out of play. And then,
for those that don't know, you actually are a ball boy at Wolves, aren't you, at the moment? Yeah. So you are part of the ball boy team.
Yeah. So the ball's gone out, and then it's gone in David Moyes' technical area, and it's a Wolves throwing. Wolves have gone quick, and David Moyes has chucked the ball onto the pitch.
Yeah.
So that should have been a sending off for a delaying opposition restart. So he shouldn't have even been on the touchline for the second half or first. I think we're just missing somebody that just gets a ball and drives. I know yesterday Aitnori did it a bit, and Tommy, but we just need somebody else, because Tommy needs to be getting more forward, and Aitnori is staying forward as well. If you look at the formation we played yesterday, Aitnori is in the midfield, and we just need somebody to help Aitnori, because he can't always go across the pitch to always get there as well. I think Ryan had one of the best games in ages I've seen him play, and that's saying something really, because how big he's been part of all the season. It's just been exceptional for him.
The Wolves messy. Ryan Aitnori. He's got so much skills anyway.
He's really talented. To say he didn't get much game time under Lopetegui, and now he's come with Gary, and he's been one of our best players this season.
Why do you think he got no game time under Lopetegui? Because he was a bit bombed out. And obviously, he's had a fresh lease of life this year. He's looked like, you know, a world-class player. Why do you think that was?
I just don't think Lopetegui liked his attitude. Because I remember, I think it was when Aitnori shaved his hair off. And he put him on training on his own. So I think Lopetegui had his favourite players. And if he didn't like the attitude of one of the players, he'd just put them on their own.
And there we're seeing the benefits this year, and he seems to be flourishing, doesn't he? Yeah. Fearful, over to you.
Just on Lopetegui. So Lopetegui didn't trust Ryan Aitnori the same way I don't trust him as a fullback, Dave. And he's where he's playing now, where he hasn't got that defensive responsibility, he's revelation, because he doesn't have to track back, although he does at times. And that's why we're seeing the best of him now, because he's those shackles are off him. And Lopetegui, those kind of elite managers are all about not conceding and doing what you've got to do. You think about the Seville team that did so well in Europe. That's what they were so hard to beat, and that's how they the base that they built it on. So that's what was going on there. I've got a bit of a different view to everybody else. I thought it was a goal. I thought that it's not a VAR issue. This is the rules, and this is the problem is that the rules have changed and allowed this to happen. Yes, I think it's wrong, and going back to how
all I'm going to say is the same referee allowed the same goal when he was on VAR, the Man City goal,
exactly the same goal.
So why is the same referee judging? Why is the same referee disallowing exactly the same goal that he lets a goal go, exactly the same incident for Manchester City? Why is that? If you're talking about rules and consistency, why is there no consistency?
Well, because this referee in particular is an arse, Dave. And this is the problem.
Like, he might be an arse, but why isn't he being an arse to Man City? Why is he being an arse to Wolves?
Dave, because he's not fit for doing the job.
I mean, you said to Craig in the first 30 seconds that this
referee... didn't know who the ref was, and I saw him run out, and I said to Craig straight away, shit, we've had it here, it's Tony Harrington, he's fucking useless. That's what I said. That was my exact words. You know, and I've watched him referee other games, and he's awful. So I get why he's upset, but the rules are the rules. It's a goal, and
it isn't, though, is it?
It is.
But Chris, it really is not. It's not the rules of the rules are a goal. It's subjective.
Dave, is it a goal?
Yeah, it's not a rule, because an offside rule is you're 1 foot offside and you're not offside. Is he interfering? Is the keeper going to get it? Everyone with common sense can see that is a goal. I'm not having it, Chris. I'm sorry. You can obviously you disagree, but like every single person can see that it's a goal. It's a goal. The keeper's not getting to it.
I completely agree. He's not getting to it, but he's in an offside position. He's put himself in a position to allow the referee. But the goalie
was holding him back anyway. Well, before that,
he stood too
much. Why is the goal for the corner given when Antonio's backing into Sarr in an offside position?
Because no, Dave, he's not offside because the ball's from a corner. You can't be offside.
The ball's from a corner.
Nobody's touched the ball apart from Paul Prowse. It's gone straight in from the corner.
He's obstructing the keeper.
Oh well, he's obstructing the keeper, but he's not offside.
But it's still a foul, isn't it?
It's a foul. You just said it was offside, and it's not. I'm just trying to make the point that you've got to have the rules correct, and you've got to. You can't say it's offside.
Frustrating, though, isn't it?
Yes, it was exactly the same kind of thing, and because Antonio is a bigger, stronger fellow, he pushed Sarr out of the way,
Chris.
And it was, you know.
Can I come in there? Is it the rules are surely if he's interfering with play? And he's 5'10", our boy? Fabianski's 6'3". The ball's come down from 7 foot. He's seen that ball every step of the way. He just ain't getting to it, Chris. No goalkeeper on the planet will stop that. So he can't
agree that that's what the rules allow.
He can't be interfering with play, though.
Chris, it's not a rule, is it? It's subjective. That is why the VAR didn't go offside, and they sent the referee to look at the monitor because it was subjective, and they showed him a slow motion still, and because he'd been sent to the monitor, he hadn't got the balls to stick with his decision. And had he done that, no one would have said anything. Yeah. He would have gone on Match of the Day. Gary Lineker and all the rest would have gone, well done, son. Sure. For actually sticking with your decision, but he bottled it and he gave it to the thing, and they just it was subjective. Offside. How many times do you see an offside decision where the ref goes to the monitor? You never do, but when it's a Wolves game, he goes and he comes out the second he goes.
Dave, he's not going to Wolves games and looking at the off monitor just because it's Wolves and offside. This conspiracy stuff's a load of crap, you know. It's not.
I'm on about it's not offside. It's not offside when it's a
subjective decision. Do you think their goal should have been disallowed?
No, 100% don't. Sunday League football, League Two, League One, Championship, you know, parks, pitches, thinking, school, everyone, you know, I used to do as a number 10 when I play, I used to love sitting on the keeper just in front of him, you know, to stop him. Well, that's what I used to do all the time. We've all done it. It's football. You can't take that sort of thing away from the game.
So no, I'm on about Semedo, the foul on Semedo. Do you think that was a foul?
Yes, because he...
No.
When
I played football, I was told to make that,
mate,
get that ball,
if he doesn't,
put the bloke in the net.
Yeah,
same time.
Yeah, hold on. He's not jumped up and headed it and, like, gone up and headed it over the top and gone over the top. He's caught his foot and he's gone down. If that's a penalty in the penalty area, it's a penalty. At the other end, it's a penalty. If that's anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. It's a definite foul. VAR reviewed that as well. He's clipped him and he's gone down, so it's a foul.
Dave, in the comments, you got a lot of people saying that you can't be offside from a corner. That wasn't the reason that he asked him to check. That ball was played in. Then Kilman headed the ball. So then offside
comes
into
play.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The issue is, was he interfering with play? I don't believe that he was, because no goalkeeper on that planet is saving that header. So did the Wolves player change the results of Kilman's header? No, because no goalkeeper would have saved it. So he wasn't interfering with play. That's my argument.
Lucas, was he interfering with play? Was that the key? Would the keeper, was it, should that goal have been disallowed?
But the Wolves one?
Yeah.
In my opinion, I had the perfect view of it in the stadium. I was in line with Fabianski. The ball's got crossed in it, and Fabianski went to one side. He's looked at our player, and he's run back behind our player. So it should have stood, because he's gone back from behind him.
You see, if you look at Keith Hackett on Twitter, he's the only referee I listen to. And Keith Hackett basically said that Fabianski should have moved and shouldn't have had Chura in the way, so that he would have been outside the ball, and therefore he thought it should have been a goal. But he says the problem is the rule, and it doesn't give them the clarity enough to not do it. And what you've got a situation there where the referee can give that he gave, because the rules allow him to. And that's what I'm saying. This is the problem with the rules. It needs to be more specific.
Exactly. And it needs to be fixed. George, you've waited really, really patiently. A passionate debate here tonight. We love debate. It's great to get it, you know, all the debates and stuff and talk about it. We're passionate fans. It winds me up, this VAR stuff. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I think Johnny said there might be a subliminal bias. I think probably that's whereabouts it is. What's your take?
Well, first of all,
you want to make about the game as well. Then let's not just get...
Yeah, no, let's not keep it all VAR, because we can ramble on about VAR all we want, but realistically, nothing's going to change. As much as I'd love to scrap it, because I think that would be the best thing to do, probably not going to happen, is it? Unless people riot. But let's be honest, I love watching the babbies. We all love watching the babbies. We're not going to give that up for a protest. But anyway, in my opinion, I think, judging by the state of the game and the sort of minute the goal goes in as it's a last minute equaliser, there's no way that should be interfered with. I just feel like sometimes the refs have got to judge it as, if it's that close and it's at that point of the game and it's an equaliser right at the last minute, you can't take that away from the fans. And especially when it's such marginally as well. If it's in the 70th minute, fair enough. But when it's that marginal, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's frustrating, isn't it? You know, in regards to that. I mean, how are you feeling after the game?
I think, to be honest, even though we could have got a 2-2 out of it, I think West, to come away with a narrow loss, West Ham, they're a better team than us. They've been heavily backed. We haven't been backed. You know, you compare player for player. If you're going combined 11, they're much stronger than us. So I think we should be proud. I'm not trying to be like a preacher here and be like ultra positive, but we should be proud of the way we set up first half. And let's face it, Moyes give them a hairdryer. Second half, they come out and they absolutely destroyed us. And even though their goals are fortunate off a penalty and off a corner, let's be honest here, The Emerson goal probably shouldn't have been disallowed either. So there's that to talk about as well.
Well, Billy Bob's a West Ham fan here.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. If West Ham fans, them, because we know what rival fans are like when a decision goes their way. You know, we've had it before, the Neto penalty against Man U. At the time, we were probably quite thankful for it. We're like, well, we deserve it. That wasn't a penalty, no way, but you take it, don't you? And you usually don't really admit to it. West Ham fans have been, you know, West Ham fans have literally been saying, unlucky Wolves, can't believe that's happened to you again. So, as I said, I always look at the Emerson goal as well. Should that have been disallowed? Not sure.
Well, that was the kind of the point that Chris was making just about, like, I mean, to me, it's a foul because he has clipped him and he's gone down. And if it's the other way around in the penalty area, that's given us a penalty, so it's a foul. And it's anywhere else on the pitch, it's foul. Hagen Lucas, what's your thoughts on that incident?
Yeah, it was really, really close. We were very fortunate to get away with that. Can I throw something else in for the guys to talk about as well? Because me and Chris both agreed on this. I thought Gunn waited far too long to use substitutions. Lamina's legs had gone. Dawes' legs had gone. And they were running over us for 10, 15 minutes before he made any move.
But there isn't really anyone to bring on. That's the problem.
Absolutely, Georgia. And the problem with Lamina is I think that he's been overplayed because his game is all about energy, isn't he? And running box to box. And I think he's shot. Doyle's only got 60, 65 minutes in him. So we needed to make those two substitutions. And Traore, when he came on, I thought he was excellent. He was aggressive. He was putting his foot in. And the game changed again because we had somebody fresh in there that was competing. Lamina and Doyle just stopped competing after half time because they were knackered.
Doyle reminds me a bit of Neves. So if Doyle's having to play number one out of position and number two covering ground he wouldn't usually cover, you are going to see him suffer, aren't you? He's like a Neves. He should be sat in front of the defence, pinging balls. But he's not allowed to do that. He's playing left wing yesterday, you know what I mean?
Patrick Moran says Craig is bang on.
It's a problem that we seem to have. We're not introducing the subs when we're getting tired. I don't know whether he hasn't got the confidence in them. He's trying to stick with the players that he trusts. Maybe he doesn't want to take Lamina off. He's playing Lamina up front at stages in games, and his tank's empty, and you know Traore can come straight on for Lamina, and he could have done that after 55 minutes when West Ham made their changes, seeing what they were doing, and thought we're going to get overrun. I knew that we'd outwork West Ham's midfield the first half. I said to Craig at the start of the game, we'll win this with midfield in this, and as soon as he made those changes, Moyes did. He did a tactical number on him. That really, I think that's what happened. But you know, this is why I'm getting a bit worked up about the way we're playing the last five games, the subs. You're playing people out of position in, you know, up front. We're playing fullbacks. We had five fullbacks on the bloody pitch at one point, and you've got these kids on the bench, so you deem that they're worth playing and can do a job. So give them the time, get them on the pitch and play them. And as the one that really is really beginning to irritate me is Nua Lamina. I don't know why he's not coming on the pitch. If he's not ready, then he shouldn't be on the bench. If he's the only one we've got, he can't be. Let's get one of the other under 21s because he's made the choice that these other kids he's bringing in from the 21s are okay to be on the bench. So get somebody from the bench. I just can't. He's got we're struggling for pace. And Tommy Doyle's a midfielder. He's running around like a lunatic on the wing, and we don't bring him on. It's his position. It's just mad.
In fairness, Chris, though, if we only see 10% of what happens, if Gary O'Neill's decided he's not good enough and there's literally no one else to put on the bench, if he's not even going to give him any time to come into the team, you don't know if he was brought in just to support Lamina with obviously what happened to their dad. So I don't know. He's literally only played half? He's played a half.
He's playing for the under-21s tomorrow night. I think. Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We are joined. I am so pleased. We haven't had him on a live for ages. Wolf and Jeff. Whereabouts in the world are you, Jeff?
Now I'm back in Chattanooga. I've been in Nashville or Nash Vegas this weekend with about 30,000 Premier League fans. And we had a really strong showing of Wolf supporters throughout the U.S. And so I do want to explain, if it looked like we were having a little too much fun, it wasn't because we were happy with the result. It's just the fact that some of us got together about 1,000 miles apart from each other and enjoyed each other's company and shared each other's misery. So we
just in the video,
spoil our time, but it was a heartbreak. And I do agree with some of the comments here that I don't think we deserved to win, but when we almost got it, or at least came back with the draw, that really hurt a lot. I think anytime we started with the penalty and it looked like we were in the driver's seat. So every time a win turns into a draw and every time a draw turns into a loss, that hurts even more. But yeah, and the VAR decision just compounds on that. I don't know if it's the frustration is so much with this decision. It's the fact, it's the 10th or 11th this year. That's what is just kills you. And it really makes you. So if it was just this today, I don't think we would be nearly as upset. But it's the compoundment of it.
It's the, over the last.
I just made up a word, compoundment. And so, Tuba, you can use that at school this week. So.
It's a good word. Lucas, you've listened to George. What he's had to say. What else have you spotted from the game that you'd like to bring up? And then we're going to go to Chris, because I think he's got a few more things that he wants to bring up as well.
Well, I was sharing with some other friends this weekend. I mean, right now, and I think Gary's doing, I think, fantastic with what he's given, but we're such a weak inside right now. We're held together by duct tape and birthday wishes. And it's... So that's kind of adding on to it. There is the hope that some of our other players may be coming back. But I think what you guys were talking about, we don't see how they are on the field in between matches. Yes, we see that Huang may be back soon. We saw that Dawson was available, but we didn't see how Dawson looked this week. And we didn't see how Cunha, even though he was able to come in, you know, when you saw him on the team sheet, you're thinking, well, you know, he's back, you know, in there. So he's got that combination of trying to not have the situation go worse by having more injuries. So it's very frustrating. And I think the big part is we've gotten so many injuries up front, out in that one area. And yes, we're already a small side, and that is a problem. There's no question there. But any club, when you have that many of your forward players out, it's going to impact you. So yes, we obviously have to get more in those areas, but I think any club that was well stacked, you get that many players out. It's really gonna cause some problems. And so I was frustrated with, I wasn't as frustrated with seeing Ryan Antoneri come out, even though that probably had the biggest impact because he was an impactful player. But the other substitutions, Dave, I thought was a little bewildered by. So why were these other players who were contributing and be a part of it being brought in with, to me, seems like the B team. And if we were up 2-0, then I would understand it. Or maybe even if we were down 0-2, I might understand it. But we were still in the match, and I understand if Reinhard Neri needed to come out, Cunha is a good option. But the other subs, I had to scratch my head over.
I'm sure Chris has got something to say on that. Lucas, first, if you want to come back on that and make your points, and then to Chris.
Give no Lamina a chance, because he, in the training videos, he looks good, but training is a different scenario to the games. But if we give him a chance to see what he's made of, he could try and help with the squad depth, start one game maybe, just give a player a rest. But we've still got Enzo Goncalves coming back from injury. So I think we should also give him a chance in the first team, because I remember...
Is that the young lad that we bought in that went away with the Chile national, the Chile team to qualify for the Olympics?
Yeah. Paraguayan, yeah.
Oh, Paraguay, I do apologise.
I think it was PSV that played in the under-21s, and he just looked fantastic, but it's also a different scenario to first-team football. But we need to give him, if we could give him both a chance and help us just rest some players, it would probably help us push on for the rest of the season.
Chris?
Going back to the subs, so the reason that these players are coming on is that our first-team 13 or 14, whatever the number is, are just knackered. They're done. The season is over. They've played too much. They've been overworked because the squad is small. And this goes back to what my next point is. It was very nice to hear from Mr. Shi today, telling me all about the wonders of football and what he goes there for. And you know, I haven't heard from Mr. Shi all season. And, you know, I certainly didn't hear from him in January when the squad needed boosting and it didn't get boosted. And it's on his watch, unfortunately, that we're now having to make do with a ragtag bunch of
Chris,
players.
Can I come back on you there? So you think it's a good idea to spend £4 million loaning Brozier, who we have absolutely got to play, which is what you get more...
Dave, keep on about this Brozier. I'm not talking
Brozier,
about
Brozier, mate. He was brought up at the press conference.
Yeah, but I'm not on about Brozier. I'm on about championship strikers, championship wingers, ones that win a club at no money, that very little money that would have boosted our squad that was not big enough.
What championship striker or winger are you on about then?
Any players at the lower level would have come into a Premiership team and would have been able to give you...
Are they going to be any better than our academy?
You just watch fucking commentary stuff us in a cup match.
Our commentary going to let their main striker go in January when they're trying to get promotion?
I'm not...
Or the likes of Southampton or people like that.
It could be any club. A season pro, 26, 27... that's been playing in the championship, that can do 20 minutes of a match is better than what we've got now. And they could have got that for very little money in January and boosted our squad. Our squad does not have a depth. And that was a decision made by the powers that be that we were going to do it. And O'Neill has said that now. He said that in the thing. And I don't think a Brozier thing is a thing. I think it's a smoke screen. It could have been any player that he was after. We didn't back him. And this is why we're in this position. I don't think we're going to win another game this season.
Oh, come on.
Okay. I mean, I get it, Chris. I mean, we all know for ages we need a brand new number nine.
Tell me which game we're going to win.
Number nine. The mistakes Bosun and Jeff are not mistakes that have been made this season. They are historical mistakes. Spending 35 million on Fabio Silva, spending 30-40 million on Guedes, players which Mendes pushed to us that we had under Bruno Lage, who, by the way, was given £100 million to spend. Julian Lopetegui was given like 80 million last January. You know, unfortunately, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, mistakes have been made. And I think kind of Jeff put his hand up today. And I'm not trying to say, I'm not one way or the other. I'm kind of keeping my powder dry for seeing what happens this summer. But like any owners that want to go and break the rules when you've got a risk of a points deduction is incompetent.
I'm not talking about him breaking the rules.
He had to pay off Johnny Otto. Johnny Otto
didn't have to pay off Johnny Otto. He could have kept him at the club and paid his wages. He wouldn't have had to pay anything off.
Yeah, but he needed to go. He needed to go.
He could have stayed at home, couldn't he? He could have told him to stay at home, keep away, we'll pay you.
And what's going to happen then when you've got a player that we're paying wages to not play?
Well, we paid more than that to get rid of him.
Chris, it's ifs and buts, mate. Yeah, we could have maybe got some mid-table championship striker that could have come and sat on the bench.
He would have come on
and done absolutely nothing. And we'd have gone, why have we bought him? He's a load of crap. I did something about like Che Adams recently about Wolves being linked to Channels, and half the Wolves fans are going, we don't want him. This is someone that we can get on a free transfer that's 26, 27, that's played four seasons in the Premier League, that's got assists and goals in the Championship this year, and we can get on a free, and people saying, oh, we don't want him. And it's like, why wouldn't we want someone like Che Adams, who I think would be a squad player, to come in, and I think we'll invest in another striker as well? It's like ifs and buts. We could have, we might have, this, that, the other. I mean, like Jeff has said, what's the odds of 80% of your strike force in one area of the pitch being out? If you take that out of Manchester City's front line, they have got a deeper squad because they've got much more to spend. But it's going to affect them. We've seen what's happened with Liverpool when they've had players out. You take four out of five forwards out your lineup, any team is going to have problems.
You're right. They will have problems. But what I'm saying is that we put ourselves in a position, and this is our lot. We've got to deal with it, you know. And we've got to play with this team now. At the end of the season. There's no other players coming in.
There isn't, no, and I think Johnny Phillips has said as well, look, we have got to be realistic as Wolves fans. I mean, this is just my opinion, you know, giving my opinion now. I'm frustrated that we haven't solved the number nine problem since Rell, you know, the issues. I'm frustrated at the money that's been wasted in the past, which has caused the mess that we've had to deal with to get out the FFP issue. And believe me, there are other teams that are going to be dealing with this FFP storm next season. Newcastle, all the money in the world, they can't spend the money. Villa are going to have issues with it as well next year. You know, there's lots of other teams. Wolves are coming out the other end, and they've got to be careful.
We've still got to be careful, Dave. We do, but
for a full fact, Wolves have budgeted to finish 17th this year, and they would have, with the 17th, they budgeted to have around about 2.3 million clear water if we finish 17th. We've had the Johnny Otto thing to go out on top of that as well. And that's because the accounts for this year will go in to the Premier League in January. And our accounts actually don't work like a lot of other Premier League accounts. A lot of other Premier League accounts work till the end of June. So there's a little bit of trading in regards to, like, the window opens in the middle of June. So Wolves end at the end of May. And that's because they want all their trading business to go into one financial year, not have an overlap. So obviously we are going to finish a lot higher than 17th. We could finish as high as, I don't think we'll make the top eight now. We could finish as high as maybe 9th.
Well, I did a table calculator. So you put all the results in where you think how everyone will do, and it puts it in a table, and we come 10th. So if we go off my knowledge, we'll finish 10th.
Say we did come 10th. It's about £2 million a place. So above a seventh, that's about another £15 million on top of the £2 million. So it gives us around about that sort of £15 to £20 million that we're going to have leeway, plus what we bring in on player sales. Now, Fabio Silva might go. We might sell Guedes. There'll be probably some other players. So that might bring in another... I mean, Fabio Silva, 10, 15 million is all we can realistically get for him if we're lucky. Guedes, obviously, we'll get a bit of money. And then, obviously, there's a big one that gets sold, a Kilman, a Neto, an Aitnori, a Joe
Gomez.
But say you get sort of 40, 50, 60 million, that will, and they give sort of 80% of that to Gary in the summer. We could be ending up with around about 60, 70, 80 million to spend in the summer. And I think this is where we have to be patient. And we have to really, 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 as fans, hold our nerves and not have a meltdown and wait to see what happens with the summer. Because believe you me, this summer, if they make mistakes and they don't do a good job, I'm going to be in that camp as well, going, what the hell's going on? But I am waiting to see, because I do believe that they've learnt the lessons. We've got Matt Hobbs, who's done a good job. I think Jeff Shee's taken a bit of a step back from it, and he's kind of in his statement today saying he's putting his hand up. I think it's kind of a little bit of an admission there's been mistakes that have been made there. Gary O'Neill clearly, to me, has got a bond with the players. The players clearly love him. I know people are going, oh, he might go to West Ham. Why would he go to West Ham? Because, he'll just end up in a manager that just goes from one club to the other. He wants some stability for himself as well. I think they'll back him. And I think we'll see what happens in the summer. I mean, look, George, Craig, where are you with that?
I'll let Craig go first because I've spoke a bit. So
yeah, on the Neto front, Dave, I said to Chris yesterday, what right-minded football club is going to spend a fortune on Neto? He has not completed one season for us yet. He's injury-prone, unfortunately. He is, though, and that's a fact. So if we're going to generate huge money, it's going to be selling somebody we don't want to sell.
Craig, can I just come in on this?
Yeah, of course.
Just 1 second. Andy, Football Owes No One Lawyer, Gone would 100% go to West Ham if they did call. Absolutely no chance at all. I don't know where you're even getting from. There's no way. Why would he go to West Ham? You know, they hate the manager that they've got at the moment that's got them a European trophy into the quarterfinals of the European Cup and like eighth in the Premier League. You know, he's loved by the Wolves fans. He needs stability for him to build his career. He needs 2 or 3 years in the same place. He's a young manager. He ain't going to jump to go to West Ham. They were only 6 points clear of us.
Dave, he was massively stung. And rightly so, when Bournemouth sacked him, he'd done a fantastic job with them. They were down when he took over as manager.
Yeah.
Bournemouth were dead and buried, and he got them up to safety, and they thanked him by sacking him. Gone's going nowhere. He'll be with us for 4 or 5 years, I think, because he's got a project as well. He's a very, very young manager,
someone's saying, oh, they've got Europe. So what? They've got Europe. What? He's going to end up going. He took over Bournemouth with no notice at all. Obviously, he was working there. He stepped up, kept him up. He's coming to Wolves with 3 days before the start of the season, not knowing the players, and built a thing. And he's going to go into West Ham and start all over again. Why would he do that? Makes no sense. He's not going to happen. So don't worry about that. He's not going to West Ham.
Calm down, Dave. You got a cold?
I have got a cold. Yeah, I'm just like...
I know you are. I've sort of not seen you this irritated for a long time. anyway, look, Dave. My concern is actually not with the forwards. You know it isn't.
He's on a 3-year contract, Paul, already. He's on a 3-year contract. He'll get a new contract. Dave,
calm down. You don't want to let the ref get thumped, but you're trying to thump all your members.
I'm just down. He's not going anywhere.
I said yesterday, my worry is in our centre backs. We when our forwards are fit, we were scoring goals for fun, but we're conceding stupid goals. Really basic, stupid goals. So for me, I would want to buy two quality centre-halves. You know that. Real classy centre-halves. Yeah. So, because Semedo's playing out of his skin. We've got enough cover on the left-hand side with 2 or 3 players that can play there. But our centre-back pairing worries me incredibly. Kilman's no captain. I'm sorry he isn't. And he's got so many mistakes in him. All this doddering about.
Man United apparently want him.
Well,
you can have him.
I'd sell him.
He's great, Man United. Take him.
I'd absolutely sell him tomorrow. It's another Maguire. 80 million quid, you can have him.
80 million.
But, you know, I mean, Jeff, who I watch on the international podcast, always find you interesting, Jeff. So nice to talk to you. On my porch.
Yeah, the sound would be bad if I was on the porch. But one thing I want to comment about what you said about the center backs, Craig.
Yeah.
When we looked at West Ham today, that was an example how they were able to play so compact.
Yeah.
And to close us down. Now, recently, our play has been much more stronger at pushing up in the middle, and they knew it. And they were able to close that down, and we're not able to do that on the other side. So I 100% agree. That's probably, I mean, yes, we still, obviously we got open areas. We got to get wingers in. We got to get at least a winger right now. But if we tightened up this summer over in center backs, I love Kilman. I'd like to keep Kilman, but I don't know if he is the captain. I don't think he's got the fight that he is the rallying of the troop. I think he's a little too passive. So having someone else maybe be captain and to see that improvement, I 100% agree with what you said there, man.
Cunha should be captain. Build a team around him.
Who's that?
Cunha. I think Cunha is our best all-around player, and I think he brings a lot to the team. Like when he came into the dressing room, it all changed. I think that like Locke's January transfer window was so underrated for the players he brought in. You know, you look at the six players he brought in, five of them are key players in the first team now. I think Cunha, he's come into the dressing room and he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's a bit daft, but he tries his absolute best. You see him running back, getting the ball, defending. I used to love Neves like, so much, but Cunha is one of my new favourite players. Like, and he's beginning to overtake Neves, even though he's only just been here a year. And I think, given the armband, build the team around him, because if you can keep him, you got a star on your hands.
Lucas, I want you to come in on this one. Kilman, your thoughts, the captaincy. You probably see things a little bit closer than some of us as well, being that, like, obviously the ball boy and stuff like that, you see probably a little bit behind the scenes stuff, what goes on. What's your take?
Well, I'm just try to do my best maths as possible, but if we sell Kilman for 35 to 40 million, and then if anyone big comes in for Neto 60 to 80 million, we've got 90 to 105 million to go buy some big players. So then there are some big profits that we could buy. We can replace Kilman. We could find a replacement for Neto. Find a number nine with all that money. So if we just sell them to, we can try and build a squad. And that's without other players going as well.
Like Fabio Silva and Guedes.
So if
Mosquera as well.
Mosquera. I'd like to see Mosquera come back, to be honest, because he's, I think he's got potential.
Oh, 100%. But do you not think he's too similar to Tartu?
Don't know. I mean,
he plays right side.
Chris, you're nodding, aren't you there? Is he right sided?
Yeah, he plays right side of Mosquera. I'd like to see for the rest of the season, if Dawson's coming back, I'd like to see Bueno alongside Dawson for a while. I think Max is not a captain. I think he's been a shadow of the player he was when he had Connor Cody alongside him.
Yeah.
He looks lost. Me and Craig, I pointed out to Craig there was a free kick that Ward-Prowse was taking, the one that he sailed just over the bar. And Max hadn't got a clue what to do. He was turning around looking at Sarr. He wasn't in the wall. He didn't get across to the wall. Sarr told him to get in the wall. He then stood with his back to Sarr, and he was the one that should have been controlling the wall. And Sarr shouted at him, and he turned around. And it was like, Christ, he's having to tell you everything to do, and you're supposed to be the captain. You know, the captain in that back five needs to, you know, run it. He needs to run it, let alone the rest of the pitch. And I just don't think he commands it well enough. He's been a great, great bye for us. And he, say again?
He's a lovely lad.
Yeah, and he's been a great bye for us, and he does.
Is it Kilman's too well. Nice? Do you think he's too nice?
Because he can give one out when he needs to. But I just don't think he's commanding enough. He needs to be. You're the guy that's going to get the ball, and you'll go meet the ball, and I'll clear up after you. He's a clear up after your centre half. He's the guy who'll look where the ball might go and run and clear it up and lay it off. He's not the intercept to get the ball. Bueno does that. he was doing it well. And if you notice, Breno handed Antonio over, took him over off Kilman yesterday because he was destroying Kilman. And Breno did a much better job in handling
Kilman, to be fair, has struggled to go down against Antonio every time he's played against us. I mean, I'd love Antonio down at, I'd love Antonio.
Dave, every quality defender that is defending their box with a winger coming in, where do they keep their arms? Where are their arms?
Well, you're supposed to be behind your side.
No, always behind the back.
Behind your back.
Yeah. I'm an American. I even know that.
Exactly. behind the backs. What was his arms doing out? And people say, "Oh, great, that's really, really critical." It isn't. It's part of your art. If you are a professional defender, that has got to be a part of your makeup, surely.
Well, yeah, they do train that, but your natural thing is when you're stretching out your leg, which is what he's probably trying to do to stop it, you balance with your arm, don't you? But you are right, and you'd think that that's something that it's not natural, but they would, you know, be working on. But you see those sort of happen in every team, don't you? That happened with catches the arm.
Can I just ask, if we were to get, say, 100 million war chest, would you trust the board to actually spend all that money?
I'd trust Matt Hobbs and Gary O'Neill.
I'd 100% trust them.
Because I think Matt Hobbs has done a fantastic job since he's taken over Scott Sellers.
I do think a lot of his work was also down to Lopetegui as well. I think players like Cunha and Sarabia, probably we wouldn't have been able to get if it wasn't for Lop pushing.
No doubt about that. They backed. This is what people seem to forget. They backed Lopetegui. He was paid £10 million. He's paid a lot of money. It's the three times more than any other salary. They gave him all the money that they could. They took money from the summer to give him in last January. And they spent a lot of money and he kept us up, which is great. We were all expecting him to carry on. And then he's walked out on us and done interviews behind the scenes. And like I've said before, Lopetegui, thank you very much for what you did keeping us up. But the second you go behind everyone's back and start using your buddy to put out discord and divide the fan base, I can't forgive that.
It must be frustrating, though, if you've... I mean, let's face it, he dropped a level to come to us. I know, all due respect, he did. And it must be frustrating when he's been offered all this, like, oh, we're going to... I don't know exactly what happened, but when he came in, he wouldn't have taken the job if they're like, right, we're just going to be... just going to sit in 17th and you're fine with that. We're just gonna sit
there. But George, with respect, Lopetegui still sitting without a job. You know, he's watched Wolves and Gary O'Neill come in without any pre-season with 3 days, take Wolves to within touching distance of Europe. And he turned round and said this squad wasn't good enough. You know, he bombed out Ryan Aitnori. I know Chris isn't a fan, but he's been one of our best players this year.
I was about to say, there is a reason for that, and I've been told that apparently him and Lop didn't get on because he was consistently late for training. I'm not trying to...
That's fair enough. You deal with it, you discipline it, but you don't bomb him out the squad forever.
No, of course not. No, I don't agree with that.
You need a player. Lopetegui, I've got my views on him, you know.
No, fair enough.
He's a good manager, he's a great coach. Thank you very much for keeping us up. You got paid a shed load of money, and you walked out on us. You told Matt Hobbs in the tunnel, in the Celtic game, in Ireland, that you're leaving after taking the pre-season. Yeah, he stayed on until we got Gary in, and we got Gary in, and you know, he's coming with no pre-season and he's got us to where he is. And you've got to say fair play for doing that. Lopetegui could have kept his powder dry and then walked, but no, he got Graham Belagi, his buddy, journalist, mate, who, by the way, I'd asked him to come on this channel and then he reneged on it when it all went pear-shaped. He did his little behind-the-scenes interviews in a shady flipping bedroom somewhere, and they divided the fan base. We had fans against each other. Lopetegui's right, the board of this, that. And it didn't need to be that way. And, of course, we now in the situation, obviously down the line, where we've avoided the FFP and the points deduction. Actually, if we'd have, I'll put it like this, we bought in about five players last January, the January before, because we took money. Had we bought in two players in that January because we weren't in a miss and bought in three players in the summer, no one would have said anything. Oh, we've bought in three players, but we couldn't do it. But we're in the situation that we're in. We've got to go past that now. And to me, what happens in the summer is really, really important. Jeff, I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts on that as well. I mean, on the summer coming up, from someone that follows very closely Wolves, obviously from far away, but you're a passionate fan.
Yeah.
Where are you?
It really depends on how much we have to play with. I do think our situation's going to be stronger this summer than it had been. It hurt us bringing in Lopetegui, and then the Ferraris we were trying to buy in the past two summers that didn't pan out killed us. I'd like to think we'd get something for Fabio, and I know we're really not going to get anything close to what we paid. But and Guige like to see us Guige those wages out of us, and I don't really know what players are going to make a major impact when we sell. Neto is probably our biggest talent. And if his injuries were at the beginning of the season and then he ended off really strong, you've got to pay attention to momentum. And right now, he's out. He's gone, which in a good thing is we're probably going to have Neto next year. But if his injuries were just in the beginning of the season and he had a really strong end of season, then I think a big club would be more Jeff, likely to pick Jeff, him up, which would
Jeff, give just him Jeff, just on that, on Neto, don't forget, we've got the Euros as well. So if he has a strong Euros, obviously that'll bump potentially.
But, yeah, but right now, I don't know if it's... he's not going to give us as much. Kilman could, but not massive. It's not going to be... I don't think we're going to make some major sales. And so I think we're... I think that Hobbs is going to be buying smart. And he's been looking at South America a lot and finding some good quality there that we weren't that weren't at our eyes. And I'm not saying he's going to go for bargain basement, but I think he's not going to go for the top names and try to do some deal with Barcelona who never pay. It's like the rich people who stay rich because they never pay their bills. And so why deal with a club like that? So I think we're going to find some quality players, but it's not going to be the obvious places. But I really do – I put a lot of trust in Matt Hobbs, and I'm thinking that she – as long as she is just signing checks for Matt Hobbs and not telling Matt Hobbs what to buy, I think it's going to help us. And if because Gary has done so much with his players and has won them over – now with his involvement on that decision, I think that's I'm feeling a little more comfortable. I don't think we're going to be coming out of the gate super strong and ready to take Man City head to head, but I think we're going to be in a much better position the start of next season than we were in this last one.
Fantastic.
We need to be careful when we slag certain players off. We've got a lot of skill in our side now. Yeah. The most skill that I've seen since the 70s. We've got a really, really skillful squad. If you play a player out of their natural position, you can make them look really poor.
Absolutely.
Sarabia, Lamina, Sarabia's skills are off the charts. If he's played in his right place, he will be massive for us.
Well, we've seen what he can do, like the Tottenham
goal. Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the Spurs goal just said it all for me. I mean, that ball was absolutely pinged to him and he just killed it with his foot. So we need to be careful that we're not judging players at the moment because they're being asked to do jobs that, because our squad is so thin, we're asking them to do jobs they wouldn't normally do and it's making them look bad. And so we have to be careful that when we're making judgments about players, that some of these guys are playing out of their natural position.
We need signings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, this is the key thing, isn't it? It's all about squad depth and what happens in the summer, because we can see that we're thin on the ground. We need a stronger bench. We need more depth. The lessons need to be learned of previous things, and we are going to obviously, as fans, we are going to be watching very, very, very closely to what happens this summer. And of course, this channel, we will be reporting on it, and we will give it opinions and thoughts and giving you guys the opportunity to comment. But we do have to give the whole summer window. But it's going to be very interesting to see how we start the season and what the squad's like at the when the window closes in the summer. And I think that, to me, is the acid test, and they've got to get it right. And I'm sure Matt Harms and Gary O'Neill, you know, I've got a plan, and the scouting network, you know, you can get some great deals for, you know, Tommy Doyle will come in for about 4.3 million. That's a great deal. You don't need to spend 60 million. You can get good players in. But if, you know, you look at Brighton, they're a great model. At the point this time, you have to trade. It's not about being a selling or a buying club. It's about being a trading club. And we've got to trade smarter.
If you want to compete, you can't sell all your best players.
You cannot. Absolutely, mate. One going, I was talking to Lucas to Lewis about this after the air. One major signing going, Wolves fans will probably accept. Two, there's going to be like, right, what are you going to do with that money? Three, and there's going to be a meltdown. So
players who have a big value, and that's Neto, Aitnori, and Gomez. They're the three that have a massive value.
And we can't sell all three of them for definite.
Well, you can only sell one, in my opinion.
That's the worry. I wouldn't want to see that happen. You can accept one. Right, we're going to round up, guys, because it's been a great show and it's getting late. Lucas, Lee Moore, Windows Man of the Match, Fox at Shooting Performance Rating and your highlight of the day, and your score prediction for next week.
Man of the Match, I'll give it to Nelson, because I think he played really well yesterday. He looked a bit tired against Villa, but he looked really good yesterday. The highlight of the day was probably going on the pitch before kickoff to do the Premier League banner. I enjoyed doing that. Yeah. And score prediction for Forest, I'm saying we'll nick it late on 1-0 Wolves. And performance rating, I'll give it a 7.5.
7.5. Chris?
Well, I think I said I'm really changing yesterday. For me, the man of the match was Tommy Doyle. He was 100% effort, putting a good shift in that position. He's our best player of the ball. I think in midfield he can pass anywhere, and he was running down the wing like Tim Steele at one point, but people remember him. And I thought it was a good effort by him. I square pegging a round hole, but he did a decent job. I don't know why he was taken off, to be honest. He could have conserved some energy by playing in midfield straight after the start of the second half, and he probably could have stayed on the pitch longer, but we decided not to do that. Match rating 6. Moment of the day. I found the day quite bad yesterday. Really, it was. I didn't really know what to make of the whole ending of the match. The VARs. You don't know what's going on. I think I just enjoyed having a sit by my mate there, Craig, in the match, and we had a good chat and a chin wag and pointed out why everybody was not very good, and that was right.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great introduction to you, Craig, to go next.
Yeah. Doc, for me, man of the match. He never stopped running. He saved a certain West Ham goal with a fantastic tackle coming back in the second half. I thought he never stopped running, finding space, as he always does, a very intelligent player. So, Doc for me. The performance rating was 5, because 7.5, 8 for the first half, but a very low 1.5, 2 for the second half. I thought we were awful. My highlight of the day was obviously wagging Oddfellows at the Birmingham Conservatory Art Contest.
Congratulations on that, mate.
Yeah, that Dave, there's a lot of pressure. People don't realise they only get one chance. and they've got to go on there under pressure with a brass instrument on your lips and to play a very, very demanding piece, 14 minutes long, the piece is, non-stop. It's just incredible that these people have got the courage to do that. So, yeah, that was my highlight. And, of course, seeing you lot in Tom Walls as well, which I thought was excellent, with a great breakfast that I demolished.
Yeah. Mate, I mean, there was, like, we had the guys from North Carolina there.
Yeah.
Lovely people that watched the channel. They came over, you know, they went to the first game, Dave, Tamara and Nicholas. And I think there was 12 of us in there at the end. And if we're starting to take over, they're upstairs. We keep having more people joining us every week. But it's fantastic. We like our food there. George, down to you now, mate. And have you enjoyed your debut?
Oh, I was literally about to say, like, I appreciate you so much getting you on. I can imagine you've got so many people who want to have this say, so I really appreciate. And you guys have been, like, great company. You know, there's a lot of Wolves fans I don't agree with, and I've found myself, like, wanting to pull my hair out tonight, so that's good. But, yeah, man of the match for me, Ait Nouri. I just feel like there's been so much pressure on him to deliver, like, as the only sort of outlet recently. And, you know, I think the reason he came off was because there has been so much pressure on him to, like, do things that he wouldn't usually do. So I think you've got to give it to Ait Nouri. Match rating for me, I think first off, you've got to give it a 9 out of 10 because, again, we dominated a much better side than us. But then second half, they just turned it on, didn't they? So I think overall, you've got to give it a 6/7 because obviously you can't give a loss much higher than that. Highlight of the day was probably, I live in Manchester, you see, so... Probably the best thing was walking into the train station. The train was right there waiting for me.
So you just literally walked on.
Yep, platform one as well. Bosh, straight on there. And then Nottingham Forest, the Forest game. I think we will win. I think Cunha's going to do this to the Forest fans. It's going to be beautiful.
I love it. Absolutely fantastic. And finally, Wolfman Jeff. But all of that, man of the match, performance rating, highlight of the day, score prediction, and when are we getting you over to Molineux? Because, like, I want to give you a hug, man. Like, I've known you for so long. I was saying to Dave yesterday, because you got to meet Dave, New York Dave, and I was like, I really want to meet Jeff one day because he's like, you know, you're a friend and I've never met you in person, known you for ages, been regular on the channel and part of the international fan. When are we getting you to Molineux? We need that pilgrimage.
Well, I got a kid who's about ready to start college, so that's not helping. But yeah, it's we actually talked to some people yesterday about possibility. I'm not sure when it'll be. It'll probably be January when I come, because I know it's so difficult to get tickets, and which is a good thing. But I figured I'd try to come when we're our first take in the FA Cup. That way, if I can't get to a league match, I could definitely get in.
Get you into a league match, Jeff, one way or the other.
We'll get you a ticket, Jeff. Don't worry about
it. I talked to some people from the club, and they're pretty confident they can make sure I got a ticket.
Yeah, they look after you when you come over. We've got the South Koreans that come over, and they seem to get tickets. I'm sure you will.
Yeah, maybe I could sit with Robert Plant. That'd be awesome. no, it was man of the match. I've got to agree with George, and it's Ryan Ait Nouri. And he didn't play the full match, but that's also one of the reasons I pick him as man in that match, because the game totally changed when Ryan Ait Nouri wasn't on the pitch. And so as far as for impact, but yeah, I mean, there's others I can highlight. People mentioned Doc, mentioned Semedo, who I think gets under appreciated a bit, but Ryan Ait Nouri right now is he's carrying us on his back a bit. And I think Lamina is doing more than you could see. He's, I think, a potential candidate for captain because he sees the big picture. And what he's doing isn't necessarily just what helps him, but he's looking at the bigger picture. Performance rating. Yeah, obviously the first half I was quite pleased insofar as it's not so much I think we played as well. It was we played better than we should have with who we had. And so I was in – that's why I was very pleased in the first half. We were driving it, and that would raise it up higher. But then the second half, it just kind of fell undone. So, yeah, that's where I got to get to like a 6.5. And it drops down tremendously in that second half. And then, you know, we were very positive in the first, but second half, it just drops those numbers down. And Chris has thrown his camera. He's furious about that second half.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, if I come, I got to stay at a kicking distance from Chris. So,
oh, man.
Nah,
I've only got little legs, if you're all right. Oh, there
you go.
You, Chris, and Craig are like brothers from another mother, to be fair. Yeah. You're like, you know, you could be triplets.
It just could be we're old. I don't know. But we had our experience was different, obviously, because I got a chance to meet with a large group of over 50 Wolves supporters. And when you're used to having to watch it just at home, or occasionally I go to Atlanta and there's maybe 6 to 10 of us there. And we were in places where we were dominant. And even though there were like thousands of people at the Fan Fest, no one was as organized as we were in Nashville. And we came in, we intimidated. And we danced and we made fools of ourselves.
I saw you doing the Let's All Have a Disco.
Oh, well, that was okay. They were filming several things. Mostly we were doing chants, but the place we were at, even though it's in Nashville, for some reason we kept playing disco music. And so part of that was we're just realizing the goofiness of this club that's playing disco off in the distance. So that was part of it, but we were having some fun with it. We had we are a huge country as far as for distance in the U.S. And a lot of us are about as far as you are from Athens. For us all getting together in one place when we live thousands of miles apart, and you know, people, we've built an online community, which is good, but it's kind of like, you know, that day I will come and I will talk with you face to face. I kind of had that with Dave from New York Wolves and the guys from a whole lot of Wolves podcast, and that was really, it was felt like family. And it was so in spite of how dreadful that match ended yesterday, we then turn to our family celebration. So,
do you know what, Jeff? That's the thing that we should never forget. We can all have different opinions. We can all get angry and stuff about this, but like, we're all cutters through a golden black. We support our team. It's an extended family. It's about the community, and you cry together, you laugh together. You know, it's not just about the game. It's about the whole day and the whole experience. And you know, it's fantastic for you that you got to get, like, you'll sit at home and probably watch it at home with yourself and the lady maybe. But like, for you to get together in a fan fest like that and watch it with 50 Wolves fans reacting, and I know you'd suffer at the end with the pain and stuff, but you could still have a beer with them afterwards and have a chat and a laugh, and that made the day for you. It wasn't, the game was just almost non-sequential in the fact that you watched it. It was the whole experience for you of getting that. And I really do hope that you can get over to Molyneux, mate, and you can, you know, that stadium that you, I mean, the guys from North Carolina that came over, we had a couple of guys from Australia as well that came over. They, you know, although we lost the game, walking through the subway, I was talking with me, Chris, Craig, we were talking to before the game, we were saying it's a rite of passage as a Wolves fan to walk through the subway, and you walk through the subway and you see it all. You know, when I was talking to young Tamara, she's 15, and Nick, who was 17, and they were buzzing from that experience, and then getting into the thing. And mate, you need to be there to have that. We've got to get you over. So I hope you can make it happen, because you know, you've been on the channel for like 4 or 5 years, and I ain't met you yet. So we'll get you over.
But we are real life friends, even though we haven't met in real life. So,
exactly, right. You can sit down and have a meal with us before the game and everything as well. That'd be amazing.
So I would say next match, I'm going to be positive, not ridiculously positive, but I'm going to go for a 2-1. And I think, and I'm basing that partly on the performance in the first half, and I think we're going to pull away just barely. I think we're due. And as long as Ryan Nuri doesn't have his injury wasn't serious, I think we're going to be able to pull this next one off. And if I'm wrong, I'll gladly be wrong.
Mate, let's hope that we do hope. And Chelsea will be doing the watch along. So she's done four so far for me, and we've not won anyone. So I really hope so. Guys, absolutely fantastic. It's been a really long show tonight. If I've sounded like the man out the old tunes advert, like, because I've got a cold now. So apologies for that. But, like, can't let you down. We do the show. George, thanks for making your debut. I hope you'll come back on.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hopefully get on again if you've enjoyed having me on.
No, absolutely. It's good to get new people coming on and talking and getting a thing. And obviously, if you've not seen the first half, we had Johnny Phillips on there giving his thoughts as well. Don't forget about Wembley Wonders. The link's in the description below. And of course, I will say, if you've enjoyed it, take 1 second to smash the like button. It lets YouTube know that you enjoy it. If you're not subscribed, why aren't you? Just hit the subscribe button. And big thank you to Creation Wolf, the wonderful people from them who helped power Extra Time for us. We've got a big week coming up. We've got Forest away next weekend. We'll have content coming up all week in regards to that. And wherever you are watching in the world, you know, don't lose the faith just because it's a difficult end to the season. Keep the faith, keep your patience, keep your powder dry to a point, and we will judge and take account of what goes on in the summer. But I do believe that we will win another game before the end of the season. But whatever happens, we ain't going to be worried about being in a relegation battle like a lot of people predicted. And don't forget that. And Craig, maybe next year, with the backing, that top seven that you were talking about.
Yeah.
We can get it next year, and maybe
it's a forward stay that we've lost that has cost us without any doubt. So it's one of those things.
And you weren't far wrong, mate. Had we not had the injuries, I think we could have done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, guys, all the best to you. From myself, Craig. Cheerful, Chris.
Cheers, guys.
The best. Cheers, Chrissy. Nice seeing you again, bud.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.